Hello, church. For those who are in Axis and other physical centers, it is wonderful to be back for our in-person service. Shall we give God a big hand for this wonderful milestone? For those who are joining us online, we are so happy that you are with us today. And please be assured that God can touch you tangibly wherever you are today. Since Pastor Jeff is in the house today, he is somewhere, I just want to say to him, happy birthday, Pastor Jeff. We love you and we honor you. We truly thank God for your life. Today, I want to start by praying for those who are not well, physically, emotionally, or mentally. So if you are not feeling well physically, please place your hand on the part of the body that needs healing. And if you are struggling emotionally or mentally, just receive it by faith as I pray for God's touch to be upon you. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence in our midst in various localities this morning. Right now, I pray for those who are not feeling well physically. May your healing touch be upon them even right now in Jesus' name. Be healed and behold, in Jesus' name. And I pray for those who are struggling emotionally. Lord, please heal the hurts and the wounds that are in their hearts. And please fill their hearts with your tangible love once again. I pray for those who are struggling mentally. May the shalom peace of the Holy Spirit touch those minds even right now, in Jesus' name. And dear Holy Spirit, for the remaining of our service, please be with us tangibly with your presence and power. And please anoint the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today we are continuing with the mini-series on the Holy Spirit. Last week, Pastor Jasmine expounded on the presence of the Holy Spirit. Today I will expound on the power of the Holy Spirit from a passage in the book of Acts. The book of Acts has been known with other names such as the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Ascended and Glorified Lord, the Gospel of the Resurrections, the Gospel of the Holy Spirit, and the Acts of the Holy Spirit. I personally like the last name the best, but if I'm allowed to add another name, I would name the book as the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. As we read the pages of the book of Acts, we can clearly see that the Holy Spirit is actively at work in the disciples' lives and through the disciples' lives. It is the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles and the other disciples of Jesus. Acts 1:8 is a major key verse in the book of Acts. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8 declares that the Holy Spirit will give believers power to be witnesses for Jesus. And as we read the rest of the book of Acts, we can see how the Holy Spirit empowers various believers to be effective witnesses. Today we are going to examine the life of one of those disciples, Stephen, through the lenses of how the Holy Spirit empowered his life. Accordingly, we will also glean some lessons on how the Holy Spirit can empower our lives. The title of my message today is The Power of the Spirit, and the text is Acts 6-7. So how does the Holy Spirit empower our lives? Firstly, the Holy Spirit empowers us to serve Jesus more effectively. Point number one, the Holy Spirit empowers us to serve Jesus more effectively. The Bible clearly refers to Stephen as a man who is full of the Holy Spirit. There are four references in Acts 6-7 that identify Stephen as a disciple who is full of the Holy Spirit. Here are three of them. Acts 6:5b. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Acts 6:8 8. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power. It is implied that the power here refers to the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 7:55. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. Stephen was a disciple who was full of the Holy Spirit. The question then is, how did the Holy Spirit empower Stephen to serve Jesus more effectively? Two observations. The first observation, the Holy Spirit empowered Stephen with wisdom. The early church was growing rapidly. However, they suddenly faced an issue that threatened to divide the church. To be more precise, there was a conflict between two groups of Jewish Christians in the church. Acts 6:1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distributions of food. The conflict between the two groups of Jewish Christians threatened to split the young Jerusalem church if not handled properly. Thus, in order to solve this potentially serious problem, the 12 apostles appointed 7 individuals, including Stephen, to lead a new church ministry. And the reason why Stephen and the others were chosen was because they were full of the Spirit and wisdom. Acts 6:3. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. I believe that this man's wisdom came from the Holy Spirit, and they would certainly need wisdom to handle a sensitive issue in the church. Now, besides being active in the new church ministry, Stephen was also active in sharing the gospel with pre-believers. And the Bible states that the Holy Spirit empowered Stephen with wisdom in his communication of the gospel. Acts 6:10. But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave Stephen as he spoke. It is one thing to share the gospel, and it is another thing to share the gospel with wisdom. The Holy Spirit empowered Stephen with wisdom that his listeners were not able to refute him rationally. How about us as the disciples of Jesus living in a prolonged pandemic time? I'm sure that you would agree with me that we would need wisdom to serve Jesus effectively during this challenging season. For instance, how should we lead our life groups together when the allowable number of people is sometimes 8, sometimes 5, and sometimes 2? How should we lead our life groups together when some life group members are vaccinated while some others are not vaccinated? How should we lead our life groups to be faithful in discipleship, outreach, and care when people are getting tired of online meetings, yet they are reluctant to meet physically as well for various reasons? And if this is rather complex for a small group or a small group gathering, it is probably more complex for a larger group gathering, like a zone gathering or our weekly worship service. Facing this complexity, one option is to give up and do nothing. Another option is to solve the problem with our own wisdom. Or we can choose to solve the problem by relying on the wisdom that the Holy Spirit wants to give to us. The first observation is that the Holy Spirit empowers Stephen with wisdom. The second observation, the Holy Spirit accompanies Stephen's ministry with miracles. Acts 6:8. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. The Holy Spirit did great miracles through Stephen among the people, presumably among both believers and pre-believers. Brothers and sisters, when we live our lives without the power of the Holy Spirit, we will live a natural life. But when we live our lives with the power of the Holy Spirit, we will live a supernatural life. Supernatural doesn't mean flaky, weird, or strange. Supernatural means beyond our human's abilities and strength. It is our desire to do what God has called us to do with the power of the Holy Spirit, and not just with our human's ability and strength alone. And when we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, there are times where miracles, signs, and wonders will accompany our service to God. I'm in the midst of reading an inspiring scholarly book titled Spirit-Empowered Christianity in the 21st Century, Insights, Analysis, and Future Trends from World-Renowned Scholars by Vincent Sinan. By the way, in case you think that my hobby is to read scholarly books, it is not. I just enjoy reading good books I can understand, whether they are scholarly books or less scholarly books. Anyway, as I was reading the book, I was encouraged by the church growth statistics that the book presented. As we know, there was a massive church growth during the era of the early church, powered by the power of the Holy Spirit. The book describes a modern-day equivalence where there has been a massive church growth worldwide since the Pentecostal revival in 1906, also powered by the power of the Holy Spirit. As I read the book, I noted one insightful observation made by one scholar. Let me read it for you. Although the statistics are impressive, the growth has been much smaller in North America and Europe. It seems that signs and wonders are more prevalent in less developed parts of the world. Perhaps the scientific and secular worldview of the West may act as a hindrance to the dynamics of revival that are being experienced elsewhere. I think this is an insightful observation. And if I may humbly add, I believe that another reason why signs and wonders are more prevalent in less developed parts of the world is because it is easier for them to rely on God and His power as compared to those who live in the more developed parts of the world. For instance, it is easier to rely more on God's power to heal when we do not have an advanced medical facility or when we have little access to it. Now, please do not misunderstand me. We thank God for good doctors, good nurses, and good medical facilities. They are God's gifts to the world. What I'm saying is that we must be careful not to rely on our human advancements more than we rely on God. We must be careful not to allow the blessings that God has given to us to hinder the power of the Spirit from operating in and through our lives. I do bring my child to see the doctors, but ever since he was a young child, the first thing I would do for him whenever he is sick or in pain is to pray for God to heal him. Sometimes we would see instant healings, sometimes we would see gradual healings, and sometimes we would see no healing. Several years ago, there was this touching moment for me. It may not be touching for others, but it was for me. I was in a taxi with my child when he was in some kind of discomfort or pain. Shortly after, he made this request. He said, "Daddy, can you pray for me?" It was a touching moment for me. I pray that my child will continue to grow in his conviction that God does answer prayers, including prayers of healing. Friends, Singapore is an advanced economy. Our worldview is a blend of the Asian and Western worldviews. And part of the Western worldview is such that we tend to rely more on our human abilities and achievements more than we rely on God. As such today, I want to humbly but boldly challenge all of us that it is possible for us to rely on the Holy Spirit right here in Singapore. It is possible for us to see the Holy Spirit doing His miraculous works in and through our lives, right here in Singapore. And not just occasionally, but regularly. Many years ago, I was involved in the coordinations of a healing event for several life groups in the adults group, right here in Singapore. Following the events, we received several very encouraging testimonies. Let me just read one of them for you. I had a hearing problem. Before the meeting, I fasted for the healing event. During the time of prayer, I stayed at my seat and covered my ear and prayed for myself. When I uncovered my ear, I could hear that the music was very loud and that I could hear someone's coughing much clearer. I wasn't sure whether it was because I pressed my ear too hard that upon release the surrounding sounded very loud. However, when I went back to office, I was able to hear my officer who was seated two tables away from me. Normally, I couldn't hear her at all. Now I can even hear the sound of keyboard typing in the office. It was so noisy. So I knew that I was healed. Now I'm happy to hear noises around me. Praise the Lord. Around 9 years ago, I attended a Christian conference in Singapore. One night, right after the session was over, I was asked to assist in a situation. When I arrived at the scene, I saw two people ministering deliverance to a young lady. Then the two people told me that their bus was about to leave the venue. So they conveniently passed the case to me. Now, even though I never ministered to somebody who was manifesting under a demonic influence before, I had no choice but to put up a brave front and to try to do something about it. I remember seeing the young lady behaving and looking in a very fierce manner. A few of us then led the young lady to a quieter place and I began to minister to her as a few people were watching and supporting. To cut a long story short, I managed to find out that unforgiveness was the door that opened this young lady to the demonic influence. I then gently asked her if she would be willing to forgive the person. She was willing, so I guided her through the process. At the end, she was delivered from the demonic influence and she received freedom. Praise the Lord. And by God's divine arrangement, I met the young lady again a few months later. She looked so different to the young lady I met that night. She thanked me for ministering to her. And I thank God for setting her free. Some years ago, I was recruited by a church brother to help minister to a homeless lady in Singapore. A few of us were listening to her story as she kept sharing and sharing and sharing. Then suddenly, I received an impression of two names, Philip and a Chinese name, Bun Hui, I think. So after listening to her for more than 1 hour, and it seemed that we were not going anywhere, I decided to ask her a question. I asked, "Does the name Philip mean anything to you?" She said that Philip was her band member when she was a student, something like that. And with that, she broke down and cried. And the expression softened. The expressions was pretty hard previously. And with that turnaround, we were able to minister to her a lot more effectively. Praise the Lord. And by the way, I did ask her about Bun Hui as well, but it didn't ring a bell to her, so we just move on. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, there are many more testimonies that can be shared. And I trust that many of you would have your own testimonies too. But today, let us be reminded that it is possible for us to see the Holy Spirit doing His miraculous works in and through our lives, right here in Singapore, and also wherever you are today as well. Let us rely more on the Holy Spirit to empower our service for Jesus so that we can serve Him with even greater effectiveness. Now, I understand that some of us may not be very comfortable with the miraculous ministry of the Holy Spirit, especially divine healing. One source of discomfort is the reality that some people are not healed as we pray for them. I believe that there are mysteries in the realm of divine healing. However, I also believe that we must not allow these mysteries to stop us from praying for the sick. Pastor Jehuen is the pastor of a local church in Singapore. He also has a renowned healing ministry. Remarkable ministries have taken place through his ministry, including cancers disappearing. Now, Jeff has a son who has a moderate autism and developmental delay. As of last year, he was not able to speak still at the age of 12. Jeff has been praying for his son's healing for years, but as of last year, the breakthrough had not arrived. There are indeed mysteries in the realm of divine healing. God has been using Jeff to perform incredible healing miracles in Singapore and beyond. And yet, his son is yet to receive the healing after years of praying. And there is a possibility that the healing may not come on this side of eternity. However, aren't we glad that Pastor Jehuen did not allow the mystery to stop him from praying for the sick? Christ followers, here is my conviction. We may not always understand, but we must always obey. We may not always understand God's mysteries, but we must always obey what God has commanded us to do. He has commanded us to pray for the sick. He has commanded us to minister deliverance to those under demonic influence. He has commanded us to fulfill the great commissions with the power of the Holy Spirit. We may not always understand why certain things happen or do not happen, but we must always obey what the Lord has instructed us to do. And I think that's a great moment to say amen. Amen. How does the Holy Spirit empower our lives? Firstly, the Holy Spirit empowers us to serve Jesus more effectively. The Holy Spirit empowers us with wisdom. The Holy Spirit accompanies our ministry with miracles. The Holy Spirit empowers us in other ways too. Secondly, the Holy Spirit empowers us to grow in our character to be more like Jesus. Point number two, the Holy Spirit empowers us to grow in our character to be more like Jesus. I observe at least three Christ-like characters in Stephen. The first Christ-like character is his calmness. Calmness. Jesus was calm under pressure, even when he was mocked, falsely accused, tortured, and murdered. He was calm through it all. Stephen exhibited similar calmness. He was calm under pressure, even when he was falsely accused, stoned, and murdered. He remained calm through it all. Acts 6:15. All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. His face was like the face of an angel. This is a description of a person who is close to God and reflects some of his glory as a result of being in his presence. And I believe that based on the broader context mentioned earlier, calmness is part of Stephen's countenance here. I'll be the first to admit that calmness under pressure is not natural to me, especially during this prolonged pandemic time where generally there are more people living in my house day and night. Recently, I was talking to the Holy Spirit to give me the power to be calm when relating to my child. Recently, I was also reminded by about a period of time in my life where I decided to pray in the Spirit continually. There were specific occasions within that period of time where I experienced supernatural calmness that came from the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, I know that this season could be a season where many of us are feeling anxious and stressed out more frequently and more intensely than usual. We can, however, grow in our Christ-like character of calmness through the power of the Holy Spirit. Please help me to encourage the person next to you. You can be calm through the power of the Spirit. Amen. The first Christ-like character we can observe in Stephen is his calmness. The second Christ-like character we can observe in Stephen is his boldness. Boldness. Jesus was ministering to people with boldness. He wasn't afraid of oppositions from Satan, demons, and various individuals. From time to time, Jesus would rebuke his disciples for being afraid. Jesus wanted them to have faith and be bold. Like Jesus, Stephen exhibited boldness. When Stephen was falsely accused before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish religious leaders, he did not back off because of the opposition. Instead, he went ahead to preach one of the longest sermons recorded in the Bible, which can be found in Acts chapter 7. Towards the end of his sermon, Stephen upped his boldness by rebuking the Jewish religious leaders. Acts 7, 55 to 52. Stephen is speaking here. "You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him." The religious leaders were furious at Stephen's sharp rebuke. Acts 7:54. "When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him." But Stephen didn't back off. He courageously continued to testify about Jesus. Acts 7:55-56. "But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. 'Look,' Stephen said, 'I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" With that, the religious leaders lost all rationality and decided to do something illegal by stoning Stephen to death. They knew that the Roman authorities didn't give them the authority to do so. But they were so enraged by Stephen's boldness that they just lost it. Now, the lesson here is not to purposely provoke people until they lose it. That's not the lesson. The lesson is that, like Stephen, we also need to be empowered by the Spirit and share the gospel with boldness. In Acts 4:29-30, the early disciples asked God to give them boldness to share the gospel. Acts 4:29-30. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And God gladly granted them their request. Acts 4:31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Lynn Stone King is an American pastor who has been proclaiming the good news of Jesus and his power to heal and restore for many decades. However, on the 22nd of April 2015, God gave him a slightly different assignment. He was to share about the good news of Jesus at the United Nations General Assembly in New York City. Here is the video of him sharing his testimony with great boldness. Let's watch it together.
You are looking at a miracle. By all medical expertise, I'm not supposed to be alive. On November 12, 2003, I fell dead of a massive heart attack in the airport in Sydney, Australia. I was clinically dead 45 minutes. They administered CPR, resuscitation, and they gave me 10 electric shock treatments to my heart. In the United States, they give 3 shock treatments and they stop. In Australia, they give 4 shock treatments and they stop. They gave me 10 electric shock treatments to my heart. The blood had coagulated already in my hands and my arms, in my feet and my legs. There was absolutely no hope for me at all. I was just a corpse. They took my body and put it on a stretcher and carried it to an ambulance. And the paperwork had been finished, and it was DOA, dead on arrival at the hospital. But in the ambulance, on the way to the hospital, when all that medical science knew to do, and with all that was at their disposal to administer, it did not work. But in the ambulance, just a corpse lying on that stretcher, Jesus stepped on board that ambulance, and my heart began to beat, and the breath came back. The driver was startled. The paramedic was startled. He told me later, he said, "I have never seen anyone recover from what has happened to you." This all happened November 12th, 2003. After several weeks in Australia, I returned to the United States to my home by myself because I was totally healed. In 2004, I went to a hospital in Jackson, Tennessee for just a major checkup, and they gave me a complete blood lipid profile, triglycerides, LDLs, HDLs, cholesterol, etc. In a couple of weeks, I went back for the results, and when I walked in, the doctor looked at me and he said, "Your results are absolutely excellent." He said, "But Reverend, we now can check the DNA in a person's body. We decided to check your DNA." He said, "When we check your DNA," he said, "when God raised you miraculously from the dead, he removed the APOE genetic marker for heart disease out of every cell in your body." He said, "That is impossible. It's impossible." He said, "Only God could do such a thing." He said, "When God healed you and raised you up, he totally, miraculously healed you." So I am grateful today to be alive because we know, having been clinically dead for 45 minutes with no breath and no heartbeat, I asked the paramedic later, I said, "Nigel, what happened when you shocked my heart?" He said, "It would beat 3 or 4 times and it would stop." We know that after 6 minutes or less with no oxygen to the brain, there is irreparable brain damage. But God has totally raised me from the dead. Finally, a doctor looked at me and he said, "You have defied all the laws of medical science." I looked at him and I said, "I didn't, but I know the one who did. His name is Jesus. I am an apostolic Christian. And my message here to you today is this. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 38, it says, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.'" the answer, Your Excellencies, to the violence in our day and to the human atrocities in our day is Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. I give you Jesus. God bless you. Thank you.
Lin Stone King testified about Jesus and his power with great boldness. We could see that not everyone was enthusiastic in listening to his sharing, but that did not stop him from sharing and testifying about Jesus. Brothers and sisters, when was the last time we shared the gospel with boldness? For some of us, we need boldness to share the gospel with strangers. For some of us, we need boldness to share the gospel with our loved ones. For some of us, we need a great dose of supernatural boldness if we are to share a tiny bit with ATM, anything that moves. Or how about in the non-outreach areas of our lives? When was the last time we courageously speak truth with love into a fellow believer's life, perhaps our mentee or our fellow life group member? When was the last time we courageously decided to flow against a popular culture in order to do what is right in the sight of God? Whatever the case is, let us be reminded today that the Holy Spirit can empower us to grow in our Christ-like character of boldness. So the first Christ-like character we can observe in Stephen is calmness. Secondly, it is boldness. And thirdly, it is his graciousness. Graciousness. Jesus wasn't just calm and bold. He was also gracious and forgiving. One of the things Jesus did before he died on the cross was to forgive those who mocked, tortured, and eventually murdered him. Luke 23:34a, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Stephen exhibited the same graciousness. While he was being stoned, while he was being murdered, he asked God to forgive his attackers. Acts 7:68. Then Stephen fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." We know that it is challenging to forgive those who have wronged us. And perhaps for some of us, it is a lot more challenging, perhaps due to your personality or due to the deep hurt inflicted upon you. Stephen's example provides hope for us, especially for those who are struggling hard to forgive somebody. The Holy Spirit can empower us to grow in the Christ-like character of graciousness. Yes, to be gracious and forgiving is a decision. However, the Holy Spirit can empower us to make that decision. The Holy Spirit can also heal the hurts and the wounds in our hearts and replace them with His love. How does the Holy Spirit empower our lives? Firstly, the Holy Spirit empowers us to serve Jesus more effectively in various ways, including with wisdom, miracles, and signs and wonders. Secondly, the Holy Spirit empowers us to grow in our character to be more like Jesus, including in calmness, boldness, and graciousness. As I wrap up my message this morning, allow me to make one more observation about Stephen's life. When we consider Stephen's life in its entirety, we can conclude that the Holy Spirit empowered him to complete his life purpose of being the first martyr of the gospel. Today, I believe that God wants to remind His people that the Holy Spirit wants to empower us to complete the life purpose He has assigned to each of us. Now, I do not know what your life purpose is, but what I know is that if you can complete your life purpose without the power of the Holy Spirit, then you know that it is not your life purpose, at least not the full measure of it. God has called us to live a life beyond our natural abilities. God has called us to live a supernatural life, a life powered by the power of the Holy Spirit. The only way we can complete our God-given life purpose to the fullest measure is through the power of the Holy Spirit. There is no other way. The only way we can fulfill the Great Commission is through the power of the Holy Spirit. There is no other way. Will you then allow the Holy Spirit to empower you afresh today? Shall we stand and respond to God together this morning? Church, the happenings in the book of Acts ushered in the era of the Holy Spirit. The Pentecostal revival in 1906 ushered in a new wave of the era of the Holy Spirit. And the good news is that today we are still living in the mighty era of the Holy Spirit. As such, in a moment, as we pray, as we sing in our hearts, I want to invite you to ask God to burn deep within you a fresh fire of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we are so thankful and we are so glad that we are still living in the mighty era of the Holy Spirit. Today, even as we sing this song in our hearts, please burn deep within us a fresh fire of the Holy Spirit. Let us sing it unto God in our hearts.
Burn it deep within my soul, new strength and fire, O Lord. Burn it deep within my soul, new zeal and fire, O Lord.
Yes, cry out to God. Brothers and sisters, today I believe that the Lord wants to challenge many of His people not to be afraid to live a supernatural life, a life powered by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is okay that you do not understand everything about the realm of the Spirit, but God wants you to obey. God has commanded you to walk in the Spirit and to live a Spirit-filled and a Spirit-led life. God has commanded you to pray for the sick and to minister deliverance. God has commanded you to fulfill the Great Commission with the power of the Holy Spirit. So today, if this is you, if you are willing to step out by faith and obey, to live a life powered by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we sing the song one more time in our hearts, I want to invite you to tell the Holy Spirit, "Yes, Holy Spirit, I'm willing. Please empower me afresh and please use me."
Burn it deep within my soul, new strength and fire, O Lord.
Yes, reach out to the Lord, respond to the Lord today.
Burn it deep within
Father, today, even as your people are responding to you, I pray for a mighty touch of the Holy Spirit to descend upon your people right here in Axis, and also in our physical centers, and also in the various homes in Singapore and all over the world. Let there be a mighty touch of the Holy Spirit falling upon your people afresh, even right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you shall empower your people afresh, and you shall use them to do things that are beyond their imaginations. Amen. By the power of the Holy Spirit, for your glory and glory alone. So Lord, please bless and anoint your people today. In Jesus' name, amen.